Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
If there's one common thread, it might be that men perceive church as too feminine.
We have to be aggressive in the world when it's appropriate. We are warriors.
1, 2, 3. Warriors!
You are a real man when you commit to study God's word and you commit to being conformed and transformed into the image of Jesus Christ. That's the biblical perspective on being a man.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
I was being sarcastic, which is another big word you'll learn in school.
What's the word on the street?
This is Wretched Radio, not one. Oh, no, sirree, Bob. Can I say, sir? I haven't adjusted to this brave new world. But hey, as long as I brought up the subject and interrupted myself, a reminder, we are responding to our brave new world. It's getting bonkers out there. Perhaps you've noticed yourself. By the way, not to interrupt myself, having interrupted myself already, I was reading about inflation prices. Somebody stated, it was probably like the New York Times, inflation is up 6 to 8%. It's like, not in my world. I can't go to Zaxby's and experience a 6 to 8% increase in food prices. It is insane out there, but I digressed from my digression. We are responding to this brave new world with a matching gift campaign so that we can launch 8, count them, 8 new voices here in Wretched Land. We are Gospel Partners Media. We would like to really invade social media, the airwaves, with some new, powerful, theologically strong voices that will help the local church, that will help the sheep, and will support the local shepherds. Please, would you check it out and potentially consider supporting us? We do have a matching gift campaign. It is a $250,000, which these days is worth about $84.18. But it's a $250,000 match campaign. Learn more at wretched.org/, the word is fellows, because we're calling these jolly good fellows. Although, Jimmy, I am so excited about this. Not entirely sure, but methinks we found a goyle.
Ah.
That's right. We're going to have a fellowette. That's my hope. This, I got to tell you, we do well to, on occasion, raise a 21st century Ebenezer. An Ebenezer was a stone of remembrance in the Old Testament. Hey, a big thing happened here where God clearly was working. Commemorate it. Build a monument. Now, the good news is you don't have to do that these days. It would probably be toppled down anyway, especially at Columbia University. Half the kids support Hamas in Gen Z. I was reading this poll last night. Half the kids in Gen Z land support Hamas. Part of it is probably trendy. It's groovy to disagree with parents. Who do they support? Israel. Go Hamas! Go Hamas! It is a trend. And they deal with it a little differently in different universities. Columbia, they're meeting with the disgruntled students to have a conversation about how we can maybe coexist without burning down the buildings, pretending that we're not entirely pro-Hamas because, wow, we sure do get a lot of funding from Jewish people, and yet we really are secretly pro-Hamas ourselves. That's what they're meeting. Texas, they just send in the law and clear them out. Little different in the way they do things in the South. Nevertheless, we are trying to respond to this brave new world and speak into it with these voices. And if you could help us, we would be mega, not mega, mega grateful for your support at this time. Wretched.org/fellows. Wretched.org/fellows. Jimmy?
Yes?
Did I? Oh, I know. The Ebenezer Stone. Something. You know, you think it's easy having ADHD. Well, it's not. I'm just telling you, it's not. The fellowette dropped into our lap. It's just the Lord sometimes, he's always at work in our lives. We have a tendency to forget that. We truly are so often children making mud pies in the slums. when God would call us to the sea and say, look at all I've got for you. Look at everything. And one of the things that I think he would have us look at is his providence and his care of our lives and his constancy, his faithfulness, his goodness, so that we surrender not some, but all to him, trusting him completely and totally. And we have everything we need to do that in the Bible. Having said that, it ain't a bad idea sometimes to write down, hey, this is what the Lord did. I say this with regret and almost an air of hypocrisy because I haven't done this myself and I wish that I had. I can remember a number of times looking back where it was so, it's like, wow, Lord. I sometimes hear evangelicals say, well, the Lord really showed up. The Lord is always showing up because he never leaves or forsakes. He doesn't make an appearance. He isn't spectacular sometimes. He's spectacular all the time. But there are just some times when we recognize it's so obvious that without him, this would not have happened. And this fellowette is one of those instances. We'll let you know when that becomes official. In the meantime, wretched.org/fellows, wretched.org/fellows. And if Jimmy would quit interrupting me,
I'm sorry.
We'll get to today's first word du jour. The word of the day from the Federalist, actually from the New York Times, polycules. Are you familiar with this term? Oh, Jimmy, you're shaking your head like you actually know what this is.
I've heard of it.
It's like... It's like just
the polyamory stuff.
It's more like a great big acceptable, sorry, orgy. Ugh. This has nothing to do with marriage. New York Times Magazine, lessons from a 20 person polycule. I don't know if you remember. It was just a couple of decades ago when people said, they're trying to undermine marriage. Well, guess what? It looks like those not prophetic utterances were certainly prophetic. Lessons from a 20-person polycule, how they set boundaries, navigate jealousy, wingman their spouses, and foster community. I love the new lingo and how we will take a word to try to apply it to a situation to justify it, rationalize it. Hey, in a polycule, you get to be somebody's wingman. Did they use the word wingman? Oh, boy. That's going to be a problem. It's a wing zed or zip or zer or duda or whatever it is. The word polycule is a synthesis of polyamory. So there's your polyamory, Jimmy. Engaging in multiple romantic relationships and molecule.
It's scientific.
Right. Oh, that's so agitating that you say that. Yeah, exactly. See, we checked this out in a laboratory, the laboratory of our own lustful minds. It seems to have started to catch on about 15 years ago to suggest an intricate structure. This is the New York Times. They try to gussy things up. This is academia's trick. Let's do something totally stupid. Get a degree in Taylor Swift, and you come up with some sort. It's pop culture theorizing heteronormativity studies of the anthropological division. Oh, it's legitimate to study the Taylor Swift, I guess. So it's a molecule and polyamory, which is an intricate structure formed of people with overlapping deep attachments, romantic, sexual, sensual, and platonic. Here are some of the highlights from that article, courtesy of the Federalist. They use a term called ethical non-monogamy. Okay. If something is obviously ethical, you don't have to call it ethical. This is my ethical microphone. What are you hiding? What do you mean it's unethical? Well, we stole it. But it's ethical stealing. Oh, okay. I'm tracking with you. Quote, it's freedom. Said one, I'm so grateful to be a part of it. I have this abundance of love to give. I feel so in my power. Ah, the therapeutics speak. We all approach E&M, that would be your ethical non-monogamy, differently. Everyone is so deeply in love with each other. Whether or not it's romantic love, no, it's not. Because you don't know what love is. That's the foundational problem with this. What is love? Okay, I'm going to try to answer it because Foreigner couldn't. The other day, I bumped into a really smart, enjoyable couple. And they were progressive and yet becoming increasingly conservative with their economics. But libertarian at best when it came to moral issues. Because we just have to let people live. And half the world, women, so abortion, duh. We just let people, we don't try to convert anybody, said this very nice Jewish couple. And it struck me, hey, wait a second. That's not nice. If you know that somebody is wrong, the nice thing is to tell them. That's what love is, or at least an expression of genuine love, doing for somebody what is best regardless of how they feel. But alas, and or a lad, we have another word du jour. Next on Wretched Radio.
As you know, we've been sharing with you some big changes that are coming very soon here to Gospel Partners Media. 8 new powerful voices will soon be joining the fold. It's our biggest and boldest move yet. Imagine a Christian version of the Daily Wire. Well, that is what's on its way. These men that are joining our ministry will be creating compelling content that will speak truth into our darkening culture. I'm talking about men like Pastor Brad Bigney, Tim Challies, Dr. Adam Tyson, Dr. Andrew Walker, Dr. John Kratz, and others. But here's where you come in. We need your help to make this vision a reality. We're in the middle of a $250,000 match campaign. Every dollar you give will be double. We know you have questions, and we have answers available right now at wretched.org/fellows. That's wretched.org/fellows. And remember, while we would love to have your financial partnership, we covet your prayers even more. Wretched.org/fellows.
I'm so excited about this. That's right. I'm actually giddy about Bibles. We are going to be doing another campaign with our good friends at the Masters Academy International. We're going to be sending MacArthur Study Bibles to places that, for various reasons, our brothers and sisters don't have study Bibles. And we did a campaign to the Philippines. 10,000 Bibles were sent to our brothers and sisters in the Philippines. I think we're either going to do another 10 or 15,000 to countries whose names we better not speak. So be on the lookout for it. And if you'd like to start even supporting that now, that would rock. You can learn more about the amazing Masters Academy International. Don't forget, they've got the mini seminaries around the globe training indigenous pastors to rightly divide the word of truth. Telling you, first-class ministry with generational impact. You can learn more at wretched.org/Bible.
Are you ready to go on an adventure that tackles life's biggest questions head on? Well, we invite you to join John Fabares and Jake Ream on a riveting journey in Road Trip to Truth Season 4. This season, they're hitting the road to explore deep questions about sin, atheism, racism, and the very nature of truth itself. Through candid conversations with university students and wisdom from experts, this season delivers some unwavering answers from a biblical perspective. Whether it's understanding the reality of heaven and hell, navigating the complexities of marriage, or uncovering the truths about money and forgiveness, Road Trip to Truth Season 4 will be your guide. It's perfect for youth groups, families, or anyone who seeks to defend their faith with confidence. Road Trip to Truth has been more than a series. It's a tool for sparking meaningful discussions and inspiring a commitment to the gospel. So if you're ready to head out on a road trip, buckle up for the truth. Road Trip to Truth Season 4, available now at wretched.org/4.
Important dates in Christian history. 716 AD. Boniface, the Apostle of Germany, sets out as a missionary to bring the gospel to pagan lands. As Islam decimated the church in North Africa and the Middle East, Christianity found shelter and thrived in Europe. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Holly Kuehl. or sex cult. This is Wretched Radio, the New York Times Magazine, writing a glowing expose on 20 people who are in kind of like a big... I'm sorry, this word is so coarse and it is so crude. I don't think that it violates our Ephesians 4, 28 through 5, 4 rule of being coarse speak, but the word is like, that's, by the way, how we should feel about abortion. When we hear the word abortion, I think even with abortion, I know the left tries to sanitize it. Women's reproductive health care. It's abortion. I think our even that word has become desensitized. It's murder. And we should have a revulsion toward what happens and never let the images leave our brain. Probably don't want to dwell on them, but never let them leave your brain. You've seen what an abortion looks like. The bits of a baby on a tray laid out to make sure that we're counting all of the body parts. Oh, before we put him in a Ziploc baggie and toss him in the garbage, it should just cause us to go, oh. The word polycule should cause us to go, oh. And they use these words to try to sanitize something that is so sinful. When I hear polycule, I'm like, the word that comes to mind for me, sorry for that, it's just like a great big orgy. That's what this is. Permission to have an orgy. Whether it's the entire group of 20 or running around behind closed doors, don't know why you need that privacy, Charlie Rich. Why don't you just do it anywhere if there's no shame in this? It is nothing more than an orgy. And they're trying to put an ethical shine on it. Jimmy, during the break, you found an article from the Daily Signal?
Daily Caller.
Daily Caller.
Yeah, written by Gage Clipper.
Gage Clipper.
Uh-huh.
And Gage Clipper said, "Like, we got to stop calling it a polycule."
Yeah, he says we need to start referring to it as sex cults.
Now, there's two ways that we can do that. I think that that's a powerful way to make a point and to really actually start standing. This is something that I've kind of thought about for a number of months, maybe years now, that when we're in public and when we're in these conversations, rather than just kind of accepting it and swallowing it, we actually use language that defines and states what it is and that it is not morally acceptable. And there's two ways that we can do that. You can do it sinfully or non-sinfully. You mean sex cult? Well, that's one way to do it. I'm not sure that's helpful or loving. On the other hand, to simply state, oh, polycule. Oh, those are sex cults. That's what those are. We need to start using words that actually describe what these things are. This article in the New York Times Magazine, the language, it's all a semantic game. We are losing the semantics war. And that is why I think using language that simply, no, this is what it is. That's not love, that's perversion. Now, you can do it in such a way that is angry and off-putting or just matter-of-factly. For whatever this is worth, and you're going to say, Friel, nothing. It's worth nothing. Here are more quotes from this article in the New York Times Magazine. And I think that this is self-evident. If not, it should cause an alarm bell to go off and say, you know, what's really happening on these university campuses, it ain't funny. What they are indoctrinating these children with, go to Columbia U, that Hamas is good, that somehow Israel is the bad guy. Are they perfect? Of course not. War ain't pretty. But you've got one people group that has actually codified their desire to wipe out an entire people group. That's evil. And yet on university campuses, it's embraced. CRT, all of that. This stuff is coming to bloom. And it stinks. These petals ain't pretty. This is an ugly fruit of a terrible progressive root. Okay, hold on, Jimmy, what is, Alex Karp is the name of the guy. He is the CEO. He does a software. What's it called? Software company.
Yeah, Palantir.
I've never heard of it. I think that they do software for different sort of applications for like the military. I don't know why. He was at the Reagan Library. There was some sort of Q&A panel. And this is what this fellow said about what's being imbibed on the university campuses.
I am not a legislator, but I am running one of the coolest companies in the world. And I'm telling young people, you are breathing the vapors of a dangerous, new, fake, and self-destructive religion when you are sitting at your elite school pretending because you watched TikTok twice and got an A+ on some crazy paper because your professor couldn't get a job anywhere else, that you actually understand the world. And you're not welcome at my company. Yeah.
Wow. That's refreshing, if you don't mind me saying. So it is a religion. They are drinking the Kool-Aid. And it ain't funny. Because let's just say the 50% of Gen Zers who are pro-Hamas, they continue to grow up, which, well, they'll get older at least. What is it going to be like when they're in office? This ain't funny. What's going on university campuses is very disturbing. Greg Abbott down in Texas, over in Texas, I guess, when the students were getting arrested for their pro-Hamas protests, he said these kids should be arrested and kicked out of school. I might go a step further. If that's how you feel about this country, we might want to take a look and see if you actually should be living here. I know. But this sort of insurrection is used to be understood. No, we can't be doing that here. If you side with a group that wants to exterminate not just our friends in Israel, but this country, I'm sorry, you can't be here. And we used to get that. And the kids are being taught fancy terms for sinful activities, like polycule. Now, this is a quote from the article. I was enthralled in college with gender studies theory, said one participant. I started to articulate that I was, I guess we can use this word, queer. I identify anywhere from femme to non-binary, depending on the day. My pronouns are she, they. You're a singular and a plural? What? Is that something that you can actually be? How do you go from being one to a bunch of them? Gender studies is where I realized that non-monogamy was an option. I'd like to know what school that was. This is what is being taught at these schools. Not all of them, of course, but most of them, frankly. And these kids are drinking it in, and their worldview is totally upside down and anti-God. That's what this is all about. This isn't just about sexual liberation and freedom. This is anti-God. This article from the Federalist has a ton of different quotes from the article. They talk about polyprocessing, you know, getting together. You got to sort it, figure out, hey, this is how you do your polycule business. The kids are not all right. These kids? Hey, where's mom? Oh, she's with guy number 7. Do you remember meeting Larry? No, wait a second. It was Billy. No, sorry. Hold on. Eric. Well, it's some guy. She'll be back when she feels like it. How are these kids doing? They're being so twisted by this type of dynamic. Polycules. Last night I was at a party that was full of poly people. And at the end of the night, we wound up in this big cuddle pile. On and on it goes. Recently, I was sent a book. Jesse Waters. Not a book I would have ordered for myself, but it was sent to me. And I started paging through it to see what he was up to. And the premise of his book, while not scientific, I think that if we worked just a little bit, we could substantiate it with just a few sociological studies. He went and talked to all of these different people who have, let's just say, non-traditional ideas to be charitable. And here's what he discovered at the core of it. That all of these people either had a very traumatic childhood, it was divorce, it was abuse, or they were experiencing some form of what we would still call mental illness, or they had been fully immersed and indoctrinated at university. He said that was the theme, that was the thread to each and every one of these people who we would say at best are progressive, just totally adrift to the left. They all had that as a common denominator. Mom and Dad, you send your kids where you think is best. But public universities, oof. This is Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for a Wretched News Break here on Wretched Radio. I am Jimmy Hicks. In a controversial move, Maine lawmakers passed a bill last week that will protect abortionists who violate pro-life laws in other states, as well as those who provide or seek so-called gender reassignment procedures. The bill, LD 277, passed the state Senate 21-13 and the House 76-67 despite grave concerns raised by pro-life representatives. And sadly, but not surprisingly, Planned Parenthood affiliates in Maine lined up to defend the irresponsible bill under the guise of essential life-saving services. For the life of me, cannot understand how you call something designed to take the life of someone as life-saving. I mean, there is nothing life-affirming about expanding access to abortion through all 9 months of pregnancy and subjecting confused minors to irreversible body-altering surgeries and hormones. The governor is expected to sign LD 277 into law. And in other news, a recent Gallup analysis has found that amid a soaring inflation rate and economic uncertainty, the United States now has the highest rate of food insecurity among the G7 nations. What a fun fact that is. One in four Americans reported instances in the past year when they couldn't afford enough food to feed their families. Data from the USDA shows 17 million households struggled to put meals on the table in 2022, a distressing 2.6% increase from the previous year. You want to start a communist nation? Start making things unaffordable for the majority. The Biden administration's response, a paltry $1.7 billion package aimed at ending hunger by 2030. A mere drop in the bucket compared to the proposed $7.3 trillion federal budget in 2024. Band-aid fixes. That's what this administration's about. Meanwhile, in a stunning display of poor judgment, that's pretty much all we've been talking about today, but another one, a high school in Albuquerque allowed a drag performer to give a highly inappropriate sexualized dance. Is there another kind they give? At a prom event attended by minors. Students reported that the performer twerked on attendees, exposed their crotch area, and removed a breast pad to dab their face, all while wearing revealing skimpy attire. Now that's exactly what our kids need to see, huh? And another head scratcher, researchers at UCLA have apparently discovered that same-sex couples face disproportionate risks from the speculative effects of climate change, like wildfires, floods, and strong winds. How about that? Their reasoning? Well, gay couples tend to live in coastal cities that are supposedly more vulnerable to natural disasters. Talk about factual information when you need to make some up. That's today's Wretched News Break. I can't take anymore. More Wretched Radio is straight ahead. I'm Jimmy Hicks.
Revelation. How can anyone know God unless he reveals himself? If God did not speak, religion would be nothing more than man's best guess. But God has revealed himself in creation, in the Bible, and in the person of Jesus Christ. We can know God, and we can be brought into right standing with Him. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
The two words that actually matter. This is Wretched Radio as we hear a progressive culture redefine what used to be understood as something, you know, sinful, outside of societal norms. We used to be able to say, that evil behavior is not acceptable. So what have progressives done? They have engaged in a word game coming up with fancy terms so that they somehow are identified as being acceptable because, well, the words are so innocuous. Polycule was one of those words where it's up to like 20 people all getting together and calling it something that is really liberating. It's very freeing, mostly led by women, by the way. They are desiring to not be underneath, you know, the authority of those males. And so they lead their husbands into these relationships where it is just nothing but a sexual free-for-all. They call it a polycule, and then the New York Times Magazine can pick it up and publish a story on it to normalize it. Well, Jimmy, I think there are two words that must be repeated regularly in these conversations.
What's that?
Says who? Mm-hmm. Because that's what this is about. Says who? Because I can take something, a word, a concept, an action, and I can come up with a new way of saying it. For instance, Jimmy, I worked really hard on this.
Okay.
During the break. I'm stealing. No, and it's not stealing, silly rabbit. It's product redistribution. That's what it is when I take something from a store. A car accident. Well, that's so running into somebody with your automobile, that isn't criminal. That's not a car accident. That's auto repair economic enhancement.
Oh, that's good.
Thank you. Thank you. I've been working on that. If you want to hit somebody in the face, it's just facial reorganization. That's all. Arson, it's just land clearing. Porn, it's adult entertainment. Oh, wait, they already use that phrase. We must introduce two words to these concepts. Says who? Why is arson bad? Says who? Why is porn bad? Says who? You can call a polycule whatever you want. You can call an orgy a sex cult. Any fancy, rather seemingly innocuous term that you can concoct, but it's still a moral issue. And the bedrock question inevitably is, who decides if that is a good thing or a bad thing? And this is where Christians, I think we can actually begin participating in revealing what much of this is. Truly, it should not be snarky. It's very easy to do that. Especially if you're a talk show host, to condescend and write articles that demean these people. Well, that's not the intention, but let's call a spade a spade. Let's label sin, sin. And the only way we can do that is with authority. Says who? We used to have something that we called natural law, natural religion, where we all basically understood through observation, hey, this is right, that's wrong. Don't know if you heard the conversation, by the way. This is fascinating. We're going to probably tackle some of this next week. I didn't listen to the whole shebang. It was Joe Rogan and Tucker Carlson. And they were talking about religion, God, UFOs, good and evil. And Tucker Carlson said something that is historically accurate, but no longer relevant. And that is common sense. That is, we all used to just plain understand these things. They were gettable. And now everything gets redefined, reimagined. And if you introduce any semblance of the divine, which everybody used to, every society gets it, there's something bigger than us. We're doing away with that. And it's being done on purpose to wreak havoc. Jimmy, what's the Amos Raber?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Well, this would seem to be appropriate right now, if you don't mind me saying so. This is kind of a country guy.
Yeah, I think, yeah.
Right. Now, we all know God, but nevertheless, this tune makes a point.
Let me get straight to the point. The world has gone mad, and common sense is, turn a phrase, dead, buried, and cremated.
When I woke up this morning, it was all over the news. It seems a friend of ours is gone, with no one left to fill his shoes. Those that knew him loved him, but it's all about to change.
Good.
It might sound strange to you, but common sense was his name.
I miss him. Miss him a lot.
There's no one else to do the job like my friend Common could. Well, I guess you don't know what you've got till it's left the world for good. It's getting pretty obvious we're all feeling the strain. Someone else has got the job and nonsense is...
Nonsense has replaced common sense. Let me take you to another article and another word. This is from CNN. It is apparently Lesbian Visibility Week, first observed in, oh, what a shocker, California in 1990. This is from CNN. Please note the disclaimer. This doesn't necessarily reflect the beliefs of CNN. Yeah, right. The New King James Version of the verse proclaims, quoting Leviticus 18:22, "You shall not lie with a male as with a woman. It is an abomination." Quote from the article. It says nothing about women sleeping with women. I'd like to think that God liked lesbians. However, the truth is most likely that lesbian invisibility has been compounded by the long history of misogyny and the absence of women from the seat of power. We were thrice rendered irrelevant. In other words, God ghosted lesbians, didn't address them in Leviticus. Ay, gavilta fish, Larry. The article continues. Listen to the brazenness. In spite of the challenges we faced, we celebrate our fabulous lesbian selves. By the way, she cites in here that lesbians earn about 9% more than average. You know, being oppressed and all. We inhabit, in my view, the best parts of femininity and masculinity. There should be a yellow flag on that statement because there is none of that anymore. It feels like a tremendous gift I've been bestowed to be a lesbian. Well, that's taking something that was once esteemed to be unnatural. Hence the term natural law. It was just unnatural. It made sense. Look at the animals. Look at procreation. Look at body parts. Look at how babies are made. It's very obvious how it's supposed to work. That was called common sense. Here's the word. Cishet. C-I-S-H-E-T. That would be heterosexual and not transgender. You can come up with all of the acronyms that you want, all of the phraseology that you can concoct, but it doesn't mask what it is. And that is why I think we can do something. We need to use biblical language to identify what these activities are and simply call a sin a sin. If you do it like a wild-eyed street preacher, and sadly there are too many of those, there are many good ones, but boy, there can be some really ugly ones on campuses. You'll just be dismissed and you'll probably not give a very good impression about Jesus Christ. Did he ever preach fire? Yeah, he did, actually. But it never sounded nasty and mean. We don't want to go down that road, but we do want to call things what they actually are. If we don't, I'm just telling you, the entire debate is lost.
Now there's people walking backwards up and down the avenue. They forgot the Ten Commandments and they broke the golden rule. I bet Common could have helped us straighten out some things somehow. Well, I wonder what he'd say if he could see the world right now. In a common town, where up is up and down is down. The world's still spinning around and around. Right is right and wrong is wrong. Oh, the list goes on and on, but I think it's time I end the song. Common sense is all we know.
Well, we used to know that, but not so much anymore. Did you, by the way, attend the funeral of Common Sense? I think it actually happened in the 90s, if I'm not mistaken, when we laid Common Sense to rest. We could help the world. There is little, the evidence is a mountain. Semantics is the tactic. Word gaming. And coming, they're doing this with mutilating children. They're doing this with mutilating babies in the womb. And they're doing it with sexual issues. And if we want to have any sort of an impact, and we do, then let's use biblical language and enter into the conversation without feeling ashamed that we're calling sin, sin. This is Wretched Radio. Who will speak for those who are staggering to the slaughter? Seems like right now would be a good time to encourage you to support Preborn Ministries. They're in it. It's a little complex out there with the internet and ordering pills. They're in the game. They're working hard to save babies and save mommies and daddies with the gospel. So if you are energized about life, that's something you can do. You can support Preborn. They provide free ultrasounds despite the accusations of all pro-life clinics. They are holistic. They do care about the mommy too. And they care for the family and they provide training. And it is literally a way that if you have the means, you can be saving a life. Amazing ministry. Preborn.org/wretched. Preborn.org/wretched.
Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. We certainly appreciate each and every one of you who tune in and listen on a daily basis. And look, things are changing around here. You've heard us talking about it, and it's going to be a reality very soon. Later this year, 8 powerful voices joining this ministry. Men like Tim Challies, Pastor Brad Bigney, Dr. Andrew Walker, Dr. John Krotz, and others, they will be joining this ministry, creating content, writing articles, making videos, creating resources and podcasts. This is going to be something like you've never seen before, and we need your help in order to make this a possibility. Log on to our website at wretched.org/fellows to get all of the information on how you can join us in our current $250,000 match campaign. Every dollar you're able to give to this new effort will be matched and doubled. We need your partnership in order to make this happen. Wretched.org/fellows is where you get the details. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel.
You're familiar with the Tomorrow Club's outstanding ministry. Oh, what a testimony. Eastern Europe, Africa, poor, poor, poor places. The Tomorrow Clubs go in. They assemble the kids every week, preach the gospel, have them memorize the Bible, sing songs, love on them, give them some treats. It has been an outstanding ministry for over 20 years, and it's growing like a nobody's business, and it is a testimony to their faithfulness that over 50% of the Tomorrow Club volunteer leaders were Tomorrow Club kid attendees. Now they, in their villages, are teaching the kids the gospel as volunteers for the Tomorrow Clubs. I got to tell you, that is a testimony. If you love supporting evangelistic ministries that are faithful, that actually preach repentance and faith, it's an outstanding ministry. If you can support it, would commend them to you by visiting tomorrowclubs.org/wretched, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Hermeneutics. A vital part of biblical hermeneutics is an understanding of genre. One genre we find in Scripture is gospel. The Gospels are 4 complementary narrative accounts of the same story from a different perspective with a different emphasis. God delivers His timeless truth through a multitude of witnesses. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Got some good news for you. This is Wretched Radio. You, of course, know. Our dear beloved brother, Phil Johnson of Grace to You, recently went in for shoulder surgery, and this is such a common side effect. Get the shoulder dealt with and his kidney shut down. What in the world? That is like a medical mystery. I'm sure there's some explanation for it, but what? Your shoulder's up here, your kidney's down there. What do the two have to do with one another? I have no idea, but that was the side effect from his shoulder surgery. His kidneys ceased functioning, had to go on kidney dialysis, the port, the whole shebang. Good news, they sent him home hopeful that his kidneys were actually going to start functioning again. How amazing is the human body? Good news, they're working. That is huge. He had three kidneyologists. I believe that is the medical term for the doctors who take care of kidneys. Two of them said, we don't think it's coming back. One said, we do think that they're, or I do think that they're coming back. And it did. Praise God for that. It has to do with creatine, which I thought was what bodybuilders took to look more like Stephen Furtick. But apparently it has something to do with your kidneys. His level was 17. It came down to 7. Now it's down to 3. It's not quite as low as they wanted. But the good news is kidneys are functioning. We're hoping that the port is going to be coming out soon. Not all perfect news. I wouldn't say it's bad news, but they do have some other levels that are related to his kidneys, like blood sugar, that does need to be dealt with. But good news, God brought Phil's kidneys back to life. Why do I emphasize God's hand in this? Because I think we have a tendency to forget that God is the one who does the healing, even when medicine is involved, even when doctors are involved. He's the one who does the healing. He uses medicine. The Puritans understood this, that God no longer does, I mean, he does, but these are not gifts that people have. Believe me, he does heal instantaneously. You've heard those stories where the doctors are just totally mystified. He does that. But the Puritans would say his normative practice is longer healing, extended healing, and he works through medicinal means. And that is a blessing. That's why we should praise God for medicine, but we should praise God for medicine. We shouldn't be grateful to the medicine. We should be grateful to the God who gives us the medicine and works through it in order to heal us. And so it is. We praise God for what he is doing with Phil Johnson's kidneys. But keep praying, not totally done with the side effects of shoulder surgery. Honestly, it's like, well, I had a broken finger and my left knee stopped working after they strained it. What? How would, mystery nevertheless. Good news on the Phil Johnson front. More demonstrations of deconstruction. We're seeing that all throughout our society. The mechanism that is so often employed to accomplish that goal is wordsmithing, word gaming, semantics. But the idea behind all of it is to deconstruct what we once considered to be commonsensical normativity. This is basically how it works around here. We called it common sense. You can call it natural law if you want to. We always need to remember, though, if we are going to make the case for morality, it always must be substantiated in the foundation of God, that he says this is right, this is wrong. But CRT, having been introduced long ago into the university system, it is bearing fruit everywhere. We used to think this was bad. Oh, no. We're going to deconstruct that so it's now good. Case in point from Time.com. Now, that would be Time Magazine. By the way, Jimmy, there was the 100 most important people on the planet.
Taylor Swift. Number one.
How? She was not number one.
What? I'm asking.
That she's on the list at all. Is a mystery. That's the best? Really?
She's important.
I know she's popular, which, look, some of that stuff is preference. I get that. I've just never gotten it myself. But that's what an important person is? That's a new set of credit. The most important people used to be obscure individuals who had deep thoughts, who came up with big ideas. They actually made some discoveries. Somebody who affected global events. That's an important person. Taylor Swift? Jimmy, I'm just curious. What is your favorite Taylor Swift song? Go ahead.
Tim McGraw. That's the first one I think she came out with. That's all I can remember.
Is that? Oh, got confused. No,
way back when she was a country artist.
She had a song called Tim McGraw.
Yes. Yes.
All righty. I thought maybe something happened, like you had some sort of synapse. What? What does a Tim McGraw have to do with a Taylor Swift? Time.com. Here's the headline. The perks of being a sociopath. Yeah, the perks of being associate. It's good. Don't you get it? There's a clinical practice. It was day one of clinical practicum, writes the author. A graduate level psychology course. We were introduced to the concept of transference, the inevitable unconscious process of patients redirecting their feelings onto their therapist. That was day one. Negative transference was something that evidently contributed to a great deal of clinical burnout, as many therapists have a difficult time separating themselves from the emotions layered upon them by those they're counseling. As a sociopath, that's the individual who's writing the article, as a sociopath, these feelings come easily to me than inherent emotions like joy and sadness. Dealing with this has certainly been a challenge, comma, but I've also come to believe that some atypical traits of my personality type can be beneficial. Now, there's some things that he says. It's like, oh, I get that. I see that. If, for instance, you aren't affected by insults or bad news, you don't carry around other people's burdens, that as a therapist, that could be helpful. Well, I get that. I don't actually agree with it, because we are supposed to rejoice with those who rejoice, mourn with those. We are to feel it. But I get his point, but that isn't the intention, in my estimation, of the article. It is to make something that we used to say, no, it's not good to be a sociopath. We need to get to work on that. We need to deal with it and address it. No, we need to deconstruct any sort of negative attitudes towards sociopathy and turn it into something that's good. There is nothing, writes the author, inherently immoral about having limited access to emotion. Well, that's true, but that doesn't mean it's a benefit. We are emotive beings. We just need to moderate them, and they need to be informed rightly. Millions of people spend billions every year to free their mind and elevate their consciousness through meditation or prayer, with the goal that is, for me at least, my default state. Because it's not what we feel or don't feel, it's what we do. Well, actually, it is what we feel, because feelings don't come from nowhere. And speaking of meditation and your brain and emotions, Mrs. Friel and I were out for a walk. We like to do that a lot. Got to get the steps in, you know. And we saw a number of women with their rolled up yoga mats, and they got their flip-flops on. They're going into the yoga studio. And just a stream of them heading in. And Mrs. Friel said, is it possible that we are seeing some of the fruit of yoga, which is this inward focus? Christianity is an outward focus. Yeah, we work on ourselves so that what? We can love the Lord our God with all our mind, heart, soul, strength, love our neighbor as ourselves. What's yoga? Me, getting inside of me. Not thinking outwardly, thinking inwardly, emptying your brain, which opens up a door to all kinds of potential spiritual activity, and none of it good. Is that maybe why we are seeing some of the statistics of anxiety, depression, anger that so many are experiencing these days because of the yoga? Toronto Star, this is from Not the Bee. Toronto Star publishes an article explaining why never owning a home is a good thing. What is that? It's an effort to take something good, owning something that's biblical, that you can own things, property rights. They're basically enshrined in the Ten Commandments. You shouldn't covet your neighbor's stuff that he owns. The Toronto Star, that housing prices up there are crazy. In order to enter the housing market, you need to earn at least $215,000. Zoinks, Scoob. But this article basically goes on to state, look, you'll own nothing and you'll be happy. We're going to show you. It's total nonsense. We're going to show you, hey, there's geographic flexibility in being a renter. In other words, you can move around more. Geographic flex. Oh, it's such a good, once again, semantics. But at the core of this is deconstruction. And the best response of the Christian, two words, says who. Until tomorrow, Go serve your king.